Last week, NASA formalized plans for a rendezvous between an unmanned spacecraft and an asteroid. Two aspects to this plan. Priority number one is to test a solar electric propulsion system, whatever exactly that is, that will be necessary for a future trip to Mars. Goal number two is protecting mankind from extinction by asteroid. Now, if avoiding human extinction is more important to you than getting to Mars, this next story is for you. Here's Todd Bookman.
NASA isn't sure yet which asteroid it's going after. Researchers need to consider orbit, rotation, and shape, but the likely choice will measure a few hundred meters in diameter.
It's what we would call a medium-sized asteroid. It's not huge, but it's medium, and it certainly is an asteroid that would pose a great threat if it should ever be on a collision course with the Earth.
Paul Chodas manages NASA's Near-Earth Object Office at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. He says once they select the asteroid, an unmanned spacecraft will head toward it, arriving sometime in the mid-2020s. It will attempt to pluck a boulder off the asteroid's surface, then it will just kind of hang there.
And hover above the asteroid for several months. During that time, it will try to move the asteroid.
Move it without touching it. Use the gravitational interaction to nudge the thing off its orbit. It's a skill we should have down pat because we may need it in the future. We've certainly needed it in the past.
In 1908, on June the 30th, there was a massive explosion over Siberia.
The region of Tunguska sees the biggest explosion in human history.
Eyewitnesses described a sky split in two, the clouds spewing flames, and then a hot wind topples 80 million trees. Many in Russia panicked at the sound and headed for religious shrines. The asteroid explosion was 1,000 times stronger than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. A century later, we get a glimpse of that power, again in Russia, in the city of Chelyabinsk. This is Jose Luis Galache.
And we have a lot more information about this asteroid because it was captured, as your listeners probably have seen, captured on many dash cam cameras that drivers in Russia have in their cars.
Countless videos show a fireball streaking across the dawn sky. The shockwave breaks thousands of windows and injures 1,500 people. Galache works for the Minor Planet Center in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Since 1947, the group has been cataloging asteroids, keeping track of more than 675,000 of them.
So if a new asteroid is discovered that's on a collision course with Earth, we are the first people to know about that.
But they didn't have the Chelyabinsk asteroid on their radar. No one did. The Minor Planet Center does, however, keep an eye on other potentially hazardous asteroids and updates a list on its website.
So I haven't actually checked today, but I think we're closing in on 1,400, I believe. And they're called potentially hazardous, and people tend to concentrate on the hazardous part of the acronym. But I'd like to stress that they're potentially hazardous.
Assuming these follow their orbits, the math puts them a safe distance from us. But if one were to somehow speed up or slow down or get elbowed off its track, that's the hazard. Galache isn't worried.
As has been said, it's the only natural disaster that we can actually do something about because we can't stop hurricanes or tornadoes or earthquakes. But if we discover an asteroid that's on a collision course, there are many options and we can probably stop them. Of course, we have to find them first.
NASA spends $40 million a year looking for asteroids. Its focus has been tagging very large ones, more than 1 kilometer in diameter. The agency says it's identified 96% of what's believed to be out there in this size range, and confirms that none pose a risk to Earth, at least over the next 100 years. Smaller and medium-sized asteroids are a different story, in part because they're so hard to see.
If you've ever seen a meteorite, which is a piece of an asteroid that's fallen on Earth, you'll know that they're dark colored. They're almost the color of charcoal. So in space, you're looking for dark objects against a black background.
Astronaut Ed Liu flew 3 missions to the International Space Station.
And that's why we haven't found the great majority yet of these asteroids. We don't know where the great majority of them are or where they're headed or whether or not any of them is going to hit the Earth or when.
Lou now directs the B612 Foundation, which is attempting to launch its own privately funded detection system. It's called the Sentinel Space Infrared Telescope, and it would map the inner solar system, where at least 500,000 asteroids may move unseen. With enough lead time, any of those that pose a risk could be moved off target with what Lou calls fairly simple technology.
Unlike in the movies where they use nuclear weapons and, you know, oil drillers, you don't need to change the velocity very much. And that means it's something as simple as running a small spacecraft into the asteroid. That's basically sufficient in the great majority of cases to prevent an impact. And that's something that we know how to do.
If the asteroid still has years left to travel before impact with Earth, changing its speed by just a fraction of a mile per hour would move it off course. NASA's redirect mission is in a similar vein, using gravitational interaction to shift the orbit. But NASA isn't contributing money to the Sentinel Space Telescope project. Its $450 million price tag is being raised completely from donations, from citizens of the world that see the value in an expanded asteroid detection effort. Which brings up an interesting question. Of all the things you could donate your money to, all the charities and hospitals and public radio stations and universities, where does planetary defense fall on your priority list? I mean, we should all know by now what will happen if we don't spot these asteroids in time. We've had plenty of warning.
You know, the popular consciousness is aware that an asteroid has killed off the dinosaurs and that asteroids have hit the Earth and have destroyed a lot of things on this planet repeatedly.
That doomsday scenario has been reinforced and reimagined in countless books and movies like Armageddon and Deep Impact. And maybe it's Hollywood's preference for exaggeration or pseudoscience, overly sappy endings, that keeps us from acting with more urgency. Maybe we've grown numb to the risk. Or maybe it's just that nobody wants to be Chicken Little. I'm curious, do you ever hear negative feedback? Like, maybe this is a little nutty or beneath a man of your intelligence?
Well, when you hear things like that, it's usually from people who basically have never looked at the odds. Because the real question is, should somebody somewhere on this planet be trying to solve this problem? My answer to that is yes. And I'm just one of those people.
For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.
We are stars. We are golden. We are good. We work hard. And we got to get ourselves back to the
You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott.